Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Today on Listen In with KNN, I am proud to get a soccer star on the airwaves as I welcome in Ian Harkes. DC, this is a name that should ring bells as I welcome in the rising star who is also the son of a soccer legend right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. I hope the show does justice to all the soccer fans in the midst of the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Yes, I know it's all this craziness, so I had to bring soccer to the fans. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag listenin with KNN. It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Doc Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Docs NBA Picks, NHL Picks, Google search Docs NHL Picks. Need MLB Picks? Google search Docs MLB Picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Docs Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now the time to get into the show and welcome in DC United midfielder Ian Harkes. But before I welcome him in, I have to give you some background because I can't assume everybody knows everything about him, even though you should, because this man is simply and purely incredible. Harkes became United's ninth homegrown player on January 23rd, 2017, after he won the Max Herman Trophy for college soccer's best player, a four-year soccer standout center and midfielder. For Wake Forest University, Harkes made 82 appearances for the Demon Deacons, scoring 9 goals and adding 18 assists. In 2016, he led Wake to the national championship match for only the second time in program history, while scoring 4 game-winning goals, 5 total. Harkes, the son of former United and USMNT midfielder John Harkes, joined the DC United Youth Academy in 2009 and captained both the under-16 and under-18 teams. The midfielder was also named the Gatorade Player of the Year in Washington, D.C. in 2011. In January 2014, Harkes was called up to the U.S. under-20 camp. And the rest is history. All right, so now please welcome Ian Harkes. Ian, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So glad to have you. I know it's like soccer mania going on with the FIFA World Cup and, of course, all the DC United fans. So I have to ask you, Ian, first and foremost, what are your overall thoughts on DC United season thus far?
It's been an interesting one because we've been on the road for the first half, waiting for our new stadium to open in 2 weeks, Audi Field. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of fixtures on the road, a lot of travel. So it's been, you know, we've had some tough results here and there, but we're hoping to build with some positives and move forward into Audi Field.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like all the fans are talking about this new stadium and field. I mean, what do you think it will do overall for DC United? And how do you kind of think they'll bring that history over from RFK Stadium over to Audi Field?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's going to be tough because there's so much history that was at RFK with not only just DC United, but, you know, national team games, World Cup, you know, everything. So we're hoping to eventually get there with Audi Field. And, you know, this next half of the season is going to be big for that.
Yeah. And also some of the biggest news this summer surrounding DC United is the addition of Wayne Rooney, who has just signed a 3.5-year contract. What are your thoughts around all this mania kind of going on around Wayne?
It's, you know, it's really exciting. And anytime you get to, you know, welcome in a player of his caliber and play with someone like that is huge. You know, he's going to push the group and we're going to learn so much from him. And, you know, we expect, you know, great things from him.
Yeah. And then let me just ask you, how has the overall transition been for you specifically when you compare your debut season to your current season with DC United?
You know, it's been a different one because my first season I was thrown in there and was lucky enough to, you know, play 22 games or start 22 games and get a lot of playing time and kind of hit the ground running right away. This year, you know, been battling for playing time, brought in some new players, and, you know, there's a lot of competition in there, which is good for our team. So, you know, I'm working on balancing, you know, bringing the competitiveness and trying to push to get out on the field, but also, you know, pushing my teammates as well. So hopefully I can continue to get on the field and help out the team. But, you know, we got a lot of good players this year and we're all pushing for, you know, the same position. So it's been good so far, and I'm hopefully trying to push to get some more minutes.
Yeah, and that leads me to my next question. I mean, last season, Ian, you led in various statistical categories amongst Major League Soccer rookies. But, I mean, I just want to ask you, what are the most challenging elements for you as a player in your rookie season now compared to this season?
Sorry, did you say the most challenging?
Yes, the most challenging elements, you would say, for you right now.
Oh, yeah. I think in the first year, I think the I thought that the travel would be a big issue, but I've realized, you
yeah.
know, when you change the schedule around like they did this year, you know, it's even more time consuming and, you know, kind of wears you down being away from home and everything. So that's definitely one of the challenges. But, you know, coming in, I just wanted to get my speed of play up to par with the rest of the, you know, the league. You know, there's definitely more physicality than the college game. So I think, you know, my first year adapted pretty well and just want to continue with that and, you know, obviously improve upon numbers like goals and assists in order to help the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we all want. And I feel like it's been so much fun watching you grow. And then that leads me to my next question. How much have you learned, would you say, both, let's say, professionally and personally under DC United head coach Ben Olsen?
Yeah, he's you know, he's been great to work under. You know, him being a player, he gets what we go through, you know, day in and day out. And you know, he's helped me to kind of grow into myself a little bit. He gives me key points here and there, whether it's working on my shot or, you know, last year he talked to me a lot about my final ball and trying to be a little more riskier and dangerous with the pass. So, you know, he wants the younger guys to express themselves just as he did, I think, in his career and. You know, is good in building up those players.
Yeah, and I have to go back really quick, Ian, to Audi Field because so many fans on social media just kind of they're excited about the field coming. So I have to ask, I mean, on match days, I mean, how do you kind of want the atmosphere that you know from RFK Stadium, how do you kind of want that to carry over with the fans when Audi Field opens?
Yeah, hopefully it'll just be electric and, you know, we'll pack Audi Field. It's going to be a more intimate atmosphere. Sometimes, you know, RFK was so big and, you know, a lot of people would complain that it was echoing or, you know, didn't really fill it up. But Audi Field is going to be great for that. I think it's around 22,000 or 21,000, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll sell out and, you know, get fans from all over DC to come out and support. So we hope it'll be great in the opening week and weeks to come.
Perfect. And, I mean, let's get back to soccer. And let's say, you know, elsewhere, DC United's U23 team has undoubtedly been very beneficial for the first team. So what are your thoughts overall on DC United's U23 team?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the youth teams in DC have always kind of pride themselves on producing young players. And I think the 23 team is great because it gives – college kids and, you know, younger a chance to focus in the summer, work on skills that, you know, maybe they're not used to and get in a more professional environment and, you know, take coaching and lessons from the first team. So, you know, it's great for them to push themselves in the summer and then get back to their seasons in the fall. And, you know, I was part of that process a little bit.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been, so a lot of teammates that I'm now playing with. So it's great, and I hope they, you know, continue to produce those players.
Yeah, well said. And now let's go back a little bit in D.C. United's history, and, I mean, this name always comes up. Bolivian legend Jaime Moreno is arguably D.C. United's greatest player in club history, 133 goals and over 100 assists and 340 appearances for D.C. United. Just kind of want to know your thoughts on Moreno's contributions to D.C. United.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was an amazing player, amazing number nine, and you know, now we're getting another one that, you know, might be up there with Jaime Moreno. We'll see, but he might have to prove himself. But you know, Jaime was great for the club, and you know, my dad always speaks so highly of playing with Jaime. He's always one step ahead of everyone, and you know, could finish from anywhere. So you know, the history of players that DC has had has been tremendous, and hopefully, you know, moving into Audi Stadium, we can make some of our own history.
Yeah, and stay on the history of players. I mean, I'm just curious, which players did you admire most growing up and why?
I loved Aleko Eskandarian. You know, he just would go through anyone. He could finish from anywhere. Just had the work rate. And another one was Christian Gomez. You know, in the midfield, an attacking midfielder. I thought he was just, you know, electric. Every time he stepped on the field, he'd go past people and, you know, had a great finish. There's so many players. I mean, I'm trying to think of other guys, but when I look back...
I put you on the spot, so no worries.
No, okay, but when I look back at tapes too, you know, the original teams, I love Marco Echeverri. You know, he was such a creator and a great number 10, so... love those guys and try and emulate them when we step on the field.
Yeah, and then that kind of brings me to my next question. So let's say past or present, which player have you been most compared to?
Personally, I haven't heard many comparisons from, you know, like friends or family. You know, I of course, I get the, you know, the shout, of course, that my dad has a lot of comparisons to me.
Yeah.
But when I talk with him, you know, he says that we are a little different and, you know, definitely have different qualities. He sometimes was out wide and a winger and would take on more than me, but, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that was good. A nice, honest answer, and that's why I'm glad you gave it to us. Just curious to know, and, you know, we're speaking about your legendary father, so I just kind of want to talk more a little bit about him. So I want to ask you, what do you remember most fondly about your father's playing career growing up?
Well, I think, you know, when he was at DC and some of the MLS clubs, you know, I was always just kind of looking back at highlight tapes and videos and stuff. I do remember him when he played in the DC United testimonial game, and, you know, I've seen a lot of his stuff, but I think he was just a tenacious player. He gave his all every game, and his work rate was unbelievable. You know, he'd be all over the field as a midfielder. So that was one thing I admired about him. But, you know, his vision was something different from a lot of people. He could, you know, he'd be running all over the field and do working and breaking up plays, but then he could also pick out a pass and, you know, his ability to serve the ball and set up his teammates was tremendous. So I think that's something that I want to, you know, try and do as well and emulate. And then, you know, he definitely had a pretty good shot as well, you know, winning goal of the year in England. And, definitely could put the ball away too in tough situations. So he was definitely a complete package.
Yes, John Hark's such an illustrious career. I could go on and on and on about his accomplishments. I mean, I know most people probably remember he's the former United States men's national team captain, just among a few. But, I mean, you kind of said the best memories, I'm sure, a lot of people, especially in this area, have of your father's career. So now I kind of want to talk, and let's say a national realm or even more worldly realm. The United 2026 bid has now been officially approved. So I want to ask you, what do you think in your own mind, what does this mean for U.S. soccer moving forward? And let's say, can U.S. soccer's popularity maybe someday reach the popularity of the sport in like Europe and South America, do you think?
Yeah, you know, the bid was huge for U.S. soccer, especially, you know, kind of following the sad news that, you know, we weren't in this current World Cup. You know, I think the nation really did hard in that one, but, you know, it gives everyone hope and gives everyone something to look forward to and kind of reaches a goal, you know, to put our best team out there when we get there. You know, I think it's a positive step forward, and it shows that the U.S. is ready for something like that. Obviously, we did it in, you know, 94, and I think it's going to be even better for 2026. And, you know, we have the stadiums now, and it's not going to just be, you know, football stadiums maybe converted. It's going to be a lot of soccer-specific stadiums that are going to hold these amazing games. So it's going to be big and something that kids can look forward to, you know, playing on youth teams and hopefully can reach their goals by that time when it rolls around. So it's going to be huge for the nation.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and especially with the Washington Capitals, you know, just winning the championship. I could just imagine how electric it would be if D.C. United were to do the same thing here in the city of D.C. And, of course, right now we have the FIFA World Cup going on, and it's been very exciting and very action-packed. I know you've been busy, but I'm just curious to know, I mean, what have some of your favorite highlights been this far?
I think definitely, you know, England and their run so far. I think that's got a lot of people talking. You know, it's going to be a great matchup tomorrow with Argentina and France. Everyone's been down on Messi. I don't know how they could be with, you know, the last decade, what he's proved, but that's going to be an exciting one. You know, there's been great games, and I think, you know, there's only been one game that was like a 0-0 draw. It's had so much excitement and, you know, the use of VAR. So there's so many talking points that, you know, we were sitting on the airplane today and people were turning around and talking to us just because we were a soccer team and they wanted to know our opinions and, you know, who's going to win and who's going to finish. So I think it's got a lot more people talking than normal, especially in the U.S.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. And like you said, I think the FIFA World Cup mania continues to grow here. I mean, so many bars now pass by and to the soccer fans watching nonstop. It's definitely a fun time here in the United States. And then I have to ask you, I know people on the plane ask you, but I have to ask you, which nation do you believe will emerge as champions at the FIFA World Cup this year?
I think I'm going to have to say Brazil. My ties should be to England, being born there and everything. But I think Brazil looks very good. And, you know, they got Neymar. They have the creative players. Germany's now knocked out. So I think they're going to have a good path to the championship.
Yeah. I know people might be surprised, as you said, because you were born in England, courtesy of your dad when he played for Derby County. But so, I mean, with that being said, what are your thoughts on Chelsea and England legend Frank Lampard being appointed as the new manager of the Derby County?
It's you know, it's really exciting. I think it's a really good move for Derby, and it's going to be interesting to see how he does in his, you know, first season. I'm sure they're just buzzing to have him as a manager and learn from him and, you know, all of his experience as a player. He's a tremendous player, so I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see how Steven Gerrard does at Rangers and, you know, all these players and legends that are now transitioning into being coaches.
Yeah, like I said, an exciting time. And, I mean, just kind of staying on you, I mean, you proudly represented the United States U-20 team. With that being said, was there ever any remote interest at all from the English FA or Scottish FA with regards to your eligibility to represent either England or Scotland at that level?
When I was around 20 or so, I think, and was going to the U.S. 20 camp, I think my dad was telling me that there were some Scottish kind of recruiters that were interested, you know, in my eligibility, and obviously with my grandparents being Scottish and then, you know, being born in the UK, kind of opens up possibilities for, you know, other nations. England, not so much. Obviously, you know, they're a very strong player pool and get much interest from them, but Scotland a little bit at the youth level, and, you know, who knows in the future where, you know, where my career will take me, but that would, you know, it would be tremendous to represent either them or the U.S.
Yeah, well said. And then also, Ian, I mean, you actually had a trial with Sky Bet the championship club, Darby County, prior to signing with DC United. So I'm curious to ask you, how was your experience, let's say in hindsight, training with Darby County?
It was great. I think, you know, after college, I had to go over and, see what was out there and try and see how I did in an environment like that. And, it gave me a lot of good insight into, the championship league, which is a very tough league. I think with Darby County, it was a good experience, and you got to see, I got to see their amazing facilities and, just the real professional environment that they have. And they're always so competitive and pushing to get back into the Premier League. And it's just a great environment to be in. So it helped me a lot. And, they had tremendous players over there. So it was great learning and playing with them before coming back to DC. And it's obviously Europe's a place that I'd love to get back to at some point in my career. But just trying to do the best I can with DC and learning and growing here before, I can set my sights on the future.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'd make some fans sad if they ever saw you go back over there. But it's, of course, like I say, amazing to watch and continue to watch you grow, especially with the legacy that your father has. And now staying on you, you previously won the Herman Trophy, an NCAA soccer award presented to the best collegiate soccer player in the entire country. So how humbling was it for you to receive such an honorific award?
Yeah, it was a big honor. It was extremely humbling. Just because, especially, I definitely couldn't have done it without a program like Wake Forest. My coaches, starting with Jay Vidovich, and then, transitioning later, I had Bobby Muse. They helped me so much and gave me so much to grow and learn as a player. And it was extremely humbling because I had tremendous teammates as well. Guys like Ja'Cory Hayes that are now playing in the MLS, could have been up there with me and could have won that award easily. So it was all because of them. And, I had a great senior year. It was really fun. Unfortunately, couldn't win the championship. But, Wake really helped me prepare for, the pros and making that jump a little bit easier.
Yeah, and staying on the Demon Deacons, what were your fondest memories at Wake Forest?
I think, definitely winning the ACC regular season and then winning the ACC tournament were some of my biggest memories. The ACC tournament was huge for us because Wake hadn't won it since, I think, 1989. So it was 27 years or so before we won it again. And that was, one of our goals as a senior class to get back there. And it was a great game against Clemson and for the opening goal. And it was just a great feeling to get back there. So that was definitely up there. And like I said, the two regular seasons that we won for the ACC was great.
Yeah.
We had a great group of guys and, fought together and came out on top.
Yeah. Like you said, there's so many great memories there that you impacted and made over at Wake Forest. And the FIFA World Cup continues to trend on social media. So I wanted to ask, what are your candid thoughts on the very groundbreaking and controversial introduction of VAR, the video assistant referees, at the 2018 FIFA World Cup?
VAR is something that's definitely got everyone talking. We've been using it during this year at MLS, and it's definitely changed games, and, some people might be mad or worried about how it's going to impact the game, but as far as I've seen, it's been pretty positive use of technology in the modern game. Some people say it slows down the game a little bit, and it definitely does. But in order to get the right decision, sometimes I think that's what it takes. So there's been a lot of use of it at the World Cup. Sometimes they don't always get it right, and some people like the human error and a little bit of that, but it really creates the fairness and make sure that, the refs don't miss anything. And I think that's been, a good step forward in our game. Goal line technology has helped out so much because we've seen goals that have been taken back or not scored. The famous one is Frank Lampard's that crossed the line and never counted. And that, changes the whole history for England and changes games for so many teams. So I think VAR is a big improvement.
Yeah, and thank you for being so candid about that. As you said, a lot's being talked about. There's people on both sides. I appreciate you giving us your honest, open thoughts. And before we leave, Ian, I mean, I have to get in this last question. So you were called up to the United States men's national team to face Bosnia and Herzegovina earlier this year, with the U.S. men's national team unfortunately missing out on playing in the FIFA World Cup this summer. Let's say, how positive do you feel about the United States men's national team success moving forward?
Yeah, it was a great experience for me to be called up, get my first camp under my belt. It's a huge disappointment that we're not in it, but I think, there's already been this kind of cycle and move towards using the young players, and you've seen that in the last couple of friendlies that the U.S. have played, calling up a lot of young kids as young as 17, 18, to get in and prove that they can, accomplish so much for their country. So I think it's been big to use those players that are eager to, not recreate the past and miss out on another World Cup. And it's going to continue through this cycle. It's going to be big that these players step up and everyone steps up and pushes each other to get the U.S. back to where they need to be.
Perfect, and well said, and hopefully the U.S. can get back to where they need to be. That's a perfect note to end on. And Ian, I have to thank you so much for your time today and for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Guess what? The show will also be available on YouTube soon. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.